Thanks for listening to this message from Kingdom Life Church and Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit our website, klcmaine.com.
All right, Isaiah 6. Man, I feel like I'm back to like 2005 preaching off a laptop. All right, well, I'm going to be getting into the word for 2019. And you know, the Lord has spoken to me a lot about a lot of really amazing things about this year, none of which I'm going to be covering today. The Lord's given us a lot of direction. Even as a team, we've been sitting down together and going into some stuff that we feel the Lord's leading us to. We have a lot of initiatives that we feel led from the Lord about. But what I'm going to be sharing this morning has more to do with what he's going to be doing in your heart and less what I feel like the Lord's calling us to achieve. You know, some of the things I feel led this year, you know, as a church is I really feel like we're called to reach into the community in a greater way in the communities all across Maine. I really feel like there's a greater partnership in meeting the needs of our local communities. I feel like we're led to serve those in need in a greater capacity this year. I really feel like the Lord's going to call us to some very specific projects to meet the needs of people in need. I feel like we're called to expand our small groups. I really feel like one of the heart and soul of our church really is being fulfilled in our small groups. And I really believe that if you're not part of a small group, I really feel this is a year to engage in one, and it's going to be like the epicenter to personal growth and discipleship. I feel like we're going to be clarifying our vision this year to the whole community, that you all become carriers of that. You know, one of the things I really feel led in is I feel like the Lord is speaking a lot about diversity this year. And I really feel like the Lord's, and oftentimes we just talk about diversity in one way. But I feel like the Lord's speaking about diversity, about the generations, diversities of age, diversity with men and women. I really feel like there's going to be that the Lord's really going to do something profound in empowering women in 2019. I really believe that there's a strong, strong call in the women in 2019, and God's going to do something profound in the midst of women. I really actually believe that the Lord is actually going to. I believe that Kingdom Life Church. I believe that heaven is multicultural, and I actually believe that the Lord is going to do something profound in a place that's not multi-ethnic. I think God's going to do something multi-ethnic in this area, and I really actually believe that it's going to be on earth as it is in heaven, and that there's going to be a multicultural movement in our area. And believe me, of all the things on my list, I think God's going to do that one's going to be the most miraculous because Maine is not multicultural. But I also believe that Kingdom Life Church is going to be growing in influence, and I think this is going to be a year of exporting resources and teams and sending people out and multiplying our influence in the region, and our culture has been really shaped and formed in the places of in the private places. But I also believe that this coming year is a year of that influence expanding and growing outside of what's happening inside these walls. And so those are some of the things that I feel the Lord is doing this coming year. But in the midst of all of that, you know, I feel like these are just initiatives and that God's going to fulfill. But at the end of the year, I really believe that our year is going to not be measured by what we accomplished, but what the Lord did in our hearts. And that's what I want to get into. And today's going to start a 4-week series that we're going to be tackling some subjects around this word that I have. And I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and asking the Lord. And do you ever get a word from the Lord and you go like, don't like it, pass it. You must have a better one than that. Anybody? Well, I was praying and praying and praying, asking the Lord, like what, Lord, what's your word for this coming year? And the Lord kept saying revival. I was like, nope. And here's why. Not because I don't like revival. I've actually like been praying for like over a decade about it. But when the Lord said, Lord, what's your word for this year? And the Lord goes, revival. I go, nope. Because everyone expects me to say that. And I also don't want to be like, I don't want to do the whole Babe Ruth thing where I come up to bat and then like point to the grandstands like, this is a year of revival. And then like, because then everyone has their preconceived notions of what that looks like, you know? And I was like, nope, I'm not saying the R word in church because I know that oftentimes when we, like the Lord says something and then what he does, you're literally at the end of the year going, I thought you said, and he goes, I did, and I did it. And it was completely different than the way that you expected it. And I felt like the Lord just kept saying this word over and over and over again. And I felt like the Lord brought some clarification for me. You know, I think we've often used this word as this supernatural event that comes on a city or a group of people and apprehends everybody externally. And you're just like, all of a sudden you're completely apprehended by this revival that's come on your city and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, we've read the stories of, you know, of the Welsh revival when the Holy Spirit came on Wales and people were literally just sitting at the bar drinking and the Holy Spirit was coming out of people and they're falling out of their seats with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and bars were being entirely emptied of, and there's like no crime and no drunks, and literally the soccer stadiums ended because all the soccer players got saved and they all went into full-time ministry and there's no sports. Right? Like we've heard the stories of like literally you're like, no, everyone's like, no, not revival, right? But then there's like, you're like, if it ends sports, no. But there, like we've heard the stories of even like church services ending at 3 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's like, okay, we're done. And they're leaving the service. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's a whole new batch of people that are being woken up by the Holy Spirit and making their way to church just to see if something's going on. And the service is going on and on and on. Like we've heard these stories, right? Maybe you haven't, and maybe we should do some revival history. Maybe I'll do some of that in the next couple of weeks. But we've often have considered that revival is something that we're waiting to happen to us. And what I want to present to us, you know, what I want to present to us today is that revival is not for churches or cities or organizations. It's for individuals that offer their lives before the Lord in full surrender. A revival only comes to a city because someone in that city offered their life as a living sacrifice. You see, this is why we've read the stories. You know, God, do it in my city, do it in my church, do it in this place, do it in my nation, do it here, do it there. But God's not in a matter of doing it here and doing it there. He's in the business of doing it in you. And we have to fully understand when we start praying for revival, God answers. And one of the reasons why we don't see revival and awakening coming is because we don't like his answer when we pray for revival. And I want to, what we're going to be getting into over the next few weeks is what it looks like to walk in personal revival. But I believe that you will not be blessed because God does a revival in your city. Your city will be blessed because he did revival in you. And this is, we have to turn this thing on its head and understand if it's coming, it's coming through someone, not through somewhere. 2019 is not a year of revival for Central Maine or for Kingdom Life Church. 2019 is a year of revival for you. And then I believe Central Maine and Kingdom Life Church will feel revival because it happened in you. I believe 2018 was a year of family. I believe that 2018 was a year of wholeness. And 2019 is a year of watching the power of the Holy Spirit break out in your life. I think the Lord did a lot of stuff internally, but I feel like when the year changed, the Lord was like, okay, we did some stuff. And the Lord's always about wholeness because wholeness has to do with salvation, right? Like he's always gonna be working something in your life, but there are seasons where you stop and you work on it. But then there's also seasons where you work on it as you go. And I believe that 2018 was a year for a lot of people of let's stop and let's work on it. And a lot of people stopped, but guess what? Stopping when the Lord says stopping is wise. Stopping when the Lord's saying going is stupid. That was revelation, wasn't it? That will straight up murder your destiny. And what I feel like the Lord's saying in 2019 is saying it's actually time to move, and that the conversation has changed, and the Lord is sending you to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, I really felt like the shift started happening on Christmas Day, or on the Christmas Sunday. I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and it wasn't a very Christmassy message, but I felt like the Lord says, I want you to call the church to live in a way that demands the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, that they have to rely on him, that they're handicapped without him. And I really believe that this is a year of putting a demand on heaven to show up in a way that he promised to show up. I want to read Isaiah 6 because this is what the Lord spoke to me about really, this is going to be something that we continue to refer back to over the course of the next few weeks. But in Isaiah 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." First of all, I want to stop there. In the year that King Uzziah died, I want you to understand that there's something naturally that was happening on the earth the moment the Lord's demeanor changed towards mankind. There was a transition, there was a change that just happened, and King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was an ungodly leader who died of leprosy, and his leprosy was considered a curse from his rebellion against the Lord. And in the year that King Uzziah died, what happened? I saw the Lord. Listen, there is a leprous king inside every single one of us that has to die for us to see the Lord. There are parts of our nature that when it dies and that reign comes to an end where it's been ruling over our heart and over our life, when that leprous king has been dealt with and brought to punishment and judgment and is dealt with inside of me, what happens? I see the Lord. And what's about to happen is there's a transition that's about to happen. And I believe this as when the Lord highlighted to me is that 2018 for a lot of people was about King Uzziah dying. And there's still grace right now for us to bring those things in our heart and our life and to lay them at the feet of Jesus, that King Uzziah would die. And I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried out to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the posts of the doorway were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm the man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched the mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity has been taken away, and your sin has been purged." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom will I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Listen. Here's this moment where there's a personal moment happening for Isaiah where he in the year that King Uzziah dies, he sees the Lord. And he has a revelation, this like open-eyed, like, oh my God. Now understand that this was not his call into ministry. This guy had already been prophesying. He was already a prophet to his nation. He was already being used, already being spoken to. But his eyes were awakened to a reality. He saw something and he goes, "God, touch my lips with the coals." You know, in over the next few weeks, I'll go over all the prophetic pictures. That a live coal is not a coal on fire. It's one that has had before the altar, has had the water poured out and it's turned white. Do you guys remember that whoever would believe in me, I will give him the white stone of innocence? Right? Jesus was the coal pressed upon your lips that purged you. And then what was after this revelation, after this encounter, what was God's response? Did he go, "I've chosen you, Isaiah, now go"? And he says, "Who will go for me?" And then what was Isaiah's response? "Here I am, send me, Lord." You see, this is the whole point of revival. This is the way that God works, is that God has a revelation and an encounter to be released to people, but his answer and his response would be like, "Now who will go?" In every single revival that's ever touched the face of the earth is somebody that let the revival start with them and let that coal be pressed upon their lips. And when God said, "Who will go?" they said, "I will go, send me." You see, and I believe this is the year of personal revival where the Lord wants to show up to your heart and to your life and go, "Who will go?" And someone goes, "Yes, I will go, send me, Lord." God's answer for brokenness in the world is not revival. It's not church revivals. It's people revivals. His answer is reviving you first. Charles Finney said this, Charles Finney, for those who know, in the mid-1800s, Charles Finney was a man that many would call a revivalist. Charles Finney, they say that, you know, Billy Graham crusades led to millions of souls being saved, but unfortunately the statistic says he was just a legend of the faith, one of the greatest men that has ever led in the body of Christ in our lifetime. But they said that after his crusades, that only 2% of people that gave their lives to Jesus during a Billy Graham crusade remained faithful to the Lord and actually walked out and built a Christian home. But they actually say that after Charles Finney's revival meetings, that 80% of those who converted their life to Christ in his meetings remained with the Lord and passed it on to their children, walked with the Lord. There are stories of this man walking in such a powerful presence of the Lord that there are stories of him walking into factories and towns, and literally people not knowing what's going on began to fall all over the factories, and the factories would have to be shut down because people could not move under the weight and the conviction of the Holy Spirit calling them to repent. Could you imagine walking to a workplace and nobody can get off the floor? And they have to shut it down, sign on the door, post a status on Facebook, there will be no business today, God is moving in our workplace. Like, there are stories of him coming into cities, and when he would come into a city to do a meeting, literally there's one story of, it was like a harbor, as a coastal town, and ships were coming into the harbor, and as one ship was coming into the harbor when Charles Finney had just arrived, they started flashing an emergency light, and they sent out a rescue boat to go check on the ship that was coming in, and all of the guys on the ship were all laying down on the ground, and they said, "What's happened?" And they go, "Send a preacher. We all must be saved." How many of you want to see that happen? This is what Charles Finney said about revival. Charles Finney said, "A revival is not a miracle, nor is it dependent on a miracle in any sense. It is purely philosophical result of the right use of the constituted means." Listen, I'll help explain for those that are like, what? As much so as any other effect produced by the application of means, there may be a miracle among its antecedent causes, or there may not. The apostles employed miracles simply as a means by which they arrested the attention to their message and established its divine authority. But the miracle was not the revival. The miracle was one thing. The revival that followed it was quite another. The revivals in the apostles' days were connected with miracles, but they were not miracles. This is what he says. He says, a revival is a result of the application of the right means. What that means is that revival is available to every believer. It is not a miracle that has been predetermined at a set time for you to just step into it, whether you like it or not. A revival is available to you by the application of the right means. That means is you lay your, there are certain means, there are certain elements of personal revival that if you were to lay your life down in that way and to apply to your life, it's literally the key that starts the engine every single time. When you plug it in and you turn it, the engine turns. When you apply the word of God to your life and you do what it says, and when you enter in by certain means that he has presented to us for personal revival, you will have revival in your life every single time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not trying to demean what we've considered revival, but I think what we have done is we've actually dismissed the possibility of revival because we're waiting for him to do something, and he's waiting for us to apply what he's told us to do. Charles Finney and so many other revivalists before us have pointed out that there is a way to revivals. So we just have to apply those means to our lives and God responds. The next few weeks, I want to just quickly go over with you what I'm going to be sharing over the next couple weeks. And we will be looking at three elements of personal revival and what I feel like the Lord is saying for us this year. You guys all right? And number one, that is revelation. The first element of revival is revelation. And I'm not going to dig into these right now because I'm going to be going over them over the next few weeks. But revelation is the illuminating of God's word in our heart and our life. I'm not talking about biblical knowledge or Bible memorization or doctrinal alignment. I'm talking about you encountering the God of the word through the word. I'm not talking about new revelation. I'm talking about you being awakened to what's been given to us in the Word of God. I'm talking about encountering God through His Word. I'm talking about the Word of God becoming a doorway like the closet that led to Narnia. I'm talking about being raptured into His glorious presence through His Word and becoming transformed into His likeness. I'm talking about you coming alive in the Word of God and that very thing becoming tangible and real. I'm not talking about you knowing it. I'm talking about you getting it. I'm talking about you being transformed by it. That when you open the Word, you step into that doorway like Narnia and you step into another world where your identity is transformed. I'm talking about you having a supernatural encounter with God through His Word, and we're going to get into it. The Lord's really spoken to me about this, and for anyone that was at the well last week, I kind of got into it. I'm trying to figure out how to lead us in this place, but God is about to capture your heart by the Word of God. God is going to capture the heart of this community in the Word of God. It will no longer be, well, we got to discipline ourselves and we've got to get that 10 chapters in a day, and this is going to be the year we read the Bible from cover to cover. Guys, I'm telling you, you might get caught up in one passage for months, but you are laid up on that floor encountering the face of Jesus in that one passage over and over and over and over again until it wrecks your life. You will be transported into the heavenlies as you open the Word of God and you wait and you sit on it until the breath of God touches your face Himself. This is not the year of looking for another doorway, another outlet, another place to experience God. The greatest encounter you will have will be in His Word, alone before the face of Jesus. I'm telling you, if it takes my whole life, I don't care. We're going to set the world straight that charismatic, Spirit-filled believers are Bible people. You're going to fall in love with not only the Bible, you're going to fall in love with the God of the Word. And this is the year, and I'll just say this, every revival begins with a revelation. A lot of people try to say, well, if we get revival, we need to get the pastors together to agree on something. We need church unity. We need prayer. It takes fasting to start a revival. I'm telling you, none of those things start revival. The thing that starts revival is revelation. When your heart is awakened to His nature becomes revealed and manifested around you. Secondly is this. The second element to revival that we're going to be going over is we are becoming a living sacrifice. Volunteering your life sacrificially for the purpose of giving God glory. The power of your no is determined by the volume of your yes. I want to just share quickly, and I don't want to give too much away about that sermon, but I will say this, is that we've gone about holiness the wrong way. We've thought holiness is about what we say no to. Holiness is a matter of what you say yes to. And we cannot achieve holiness by creating systems and programs of saying no. We can only walk in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that was presented for us and display the holiness of God through our life, even when no one is looking, because of the volume of our yes to our first love. When we make the church about what we say no to and not who we're saying yes to, it creates religion that actually only creates rebellion in the hearts of man. Listen, and this is very important. We're gonna get into this understanding of how the kingdom works, because what happens is Paul said, in the presence of the law, sin in me revived and I died. We actually think we're waging war on sin by getting the church angry at sin and awakened to the reality of their sinful nature and to try to get them to start forcing their no in every area that they have fallen short in. I'm telling you, that's only reviving rebellion in them, because it's not about what we say no to, it's about who we say yes to. It's about awakening the yes of our heart to fall in love with the holiness and the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. Love, listen, Our behavior cannot be motivated by fear. Fear has to be motivated by love. And so we're going to be getting into becoming a living sacrifice. It's allowing the Lord to prune us, acknowledging the Lord's longing for us to radiate his holiness, losing our appetite for sin and our obsession with worldliness, not from the position of obligation or force, but from freedom and joy in pursuing his heart. We're going to get into it. I'm telling you, this has to be a year that we're not tolerant of our own sinful nature in our life, but we awaken love within us and to pursue the Lord until we are disgusted by the appetite of our own sinful nature. Amen? Number three, and the third element of revival is putting the go back into the gospel. In Isaiah 6, his eyes were opened. He had a revelation. His lips were purged. It started with a revelation. His lips were purged. He became a living sacrifice. And the last call was, who will go for me? And the third element of revival is a willingness to share the revival that's inside of you. The matters of the kingdom are for sharing with the broken and the poor. I believe that there is a, and listen, I don't believe that there's going to be much fruit if we bypass revelation and becoming a living sacrifice. I think that going out and forcing the gospel out of obligation and fear as church programs can be just as much religion as what we do with our conversations about sin. But I will say this, I do believe that it's not going to be hard to motivate the body of Christ to share the love of Jesus to the world around us when our hearts have been awakened by his beauty and we have a revelation of it. And when we don't have a bonfire, we have an ember. And we bring our embers together, a bonfire gets created. It's the third element of revival. We're going to be going over this for the next 3 weeks. But my word for you about 2019 is that this is a year of personal revival for you. This is a year of God doing something and awakening something in your heart, in your life. I think this is going to be a year of extraordinary devotion to the presence of God in your life. Extraordinary awareness of where he is and what he's doing in your life. I think this is going to be a year of encounter for you. But it will be not because it just came upon you and because I said it, but the right application of the appropriate means upon your life. God's calling us to position ourselves for revival. Amen? Why don't you guys stand with me? As I said before, we have so many fun things. I feel like the Lord is putting on our agenda for this year, things that we're going to go after. And I really do believe that even in a way that there's going to be more opportunities for every single one of you to fulfill some of the prophetic dreams inside of your heart and your life. We have some awesome events planned. We have some amazing guest speakers coming in that we'll be keeping you updated on. Already some amazing things are lining up for Tenacious Love this year. It's going to be a great year, guys. So much to be excited about. But I will say this. It has nothing to do. This revival has nothing to do with any of those events, speakers, and things that we are pushing to accomplish. This year has everything to do with you positioning your life for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It has everything to do with you positioning your life to experience the beauty and the majesty of Jesus until your heart is raptured into glory. This morning, why don't you hold out your hands before you as I just pray for you and release this morning. Heavenly Father, before we move another minute into this new year, we stop and we welcome you. God, would you awaken revival inside of us? I just want to invite you right now, just begin to pray for yourself. Holy Spirit, come upon my life in a fresh and new way. Come on, this is going to be the year we pray more, Lord, more than ever before. Come, Holy Spirit. It's going to be the prayer of your year. Come, Holy Spirit. More of your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. More of your presence on my life. More of your presence of your Holy Spirit in my home, upon my family, in my marriage. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Just right now, God, We put our eyes upon you, Holy Spirit, God. Holy Spirit, God. May 2019 be my year of revival. Just pray for yourself. Come on, just pray for yourself. God, may 2019, may this year be my year of revival. Would you revive my heart? Would you open my eyes to see the beauty of Jesus? God, let a great awakening begin inside of me. Everything that I believed for a city, may I believe it for myself. God, everything that I believe for a city, I believe it for myself. God, all that I've believed for my neighbors and for my friends, for healings and conviction and repentance and the outpouring of your spirit, everything I've believed for churches and for cities and for a nation, God, would you now, God, may now I believe it for myself. Start with me. Let revival start with me. Let revival start here and let it start now. Come, Holy Spirit. Let revival begin with me, God. Let it begin with my heart. Let it begin with my life. Let revival start here. I draw a circle around this place that I stand and I say, right here, right now, let revival begin in me. Come, Holy Spirit. We're putting a demand on heaven in 2019. Pour yourself out like never before upon my life. Break every wall down. Shatter every chain. Pour out your spirit upon my life. Awaken love inside of me. Open my eyes to see your beauty. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon my life. Just declare over every one of you in the name of Jesus that this year would be your year of revival. That this would be your year of revival. This would be your year of awakening. This would be the year that 2018 would be the year that the King Uzziah died. 2019, we'd be able to say in 2019, and I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and the train of his robe filled my temple. May this be the year where we say, and in this year I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Open our eyes to see you. Let revelation flow upon our lives. Lord, we bless you and we honor you. All for your glory and all for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen and amen. Bless you guys. We're going to have our ministry teams come forward. If you would like ministry, even concerning this, we want to welcome you forward to come and receive ministry, your prophetic word, and healing in your body. We want to welcome you up. I will be praying for you this week. You can join us tonight, 6 o'clock, for the well. I'll be praying for you this week that you have even a week of revival upon your life and your family. Be blessed as you guys go. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for listening to this message from Kingdom Life Church and Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit our website, klcmaine.com.